I'll be going through one of my favorite portions of the gospel, Luke 21. And it can flow with the other gospels. I like Luke's version because I know you know this, but Luke was a doctor. And if you ever know anything about doctors, they're like investigators, right? They like to jot things down. They like to interview people. They like to research things, kind of like what I like to do too. And when I read Luke, I get that of him and how he writes it, how he puts it together. And his documentation, when Jesus saw certain things and then how he proclaimed his teachings, are so powerful. Amen? And so I'm excited to be here and to bring God's word to you tonight. So let's turn to Luke chapter 21. I'll be doing the first 19 verses tonight. And then I'll pick it up. I believe Wes Bentley will be here next Sunday from Far Reachings Ministries. So the following week, I'll do part two. So come back, okay? If I don't hurt your feelings tonight. And if I did, it's not me. It's Holy Spirit working on you. It's just not me. I want to start tonight off with a poem that my wife and I got to experience through a lockup person, a lockup young person. And this is their poem. And so let me start the night off with this. And the poem written by a locked up young person says this: when you have no place to turn and you're learning to be free, plus you're begging for concern and your eyes are burning, you can't see. I've found that you are you and I've learned that I am me. Misfortune is the difference. Understanding is the key. Refuse to be discouraged. Refuse to be distressed. For when we are despondent, our lives cannot be blessed. For doubt and fear and worry close the door to faith and prayer. For there's no room for blessings when we're lost in despair. So remember, when you're troubled with uncertainty and doubt, it is best to tell our Father what our fear is all about. For unless we seek His guidance, when troubled times arise, we're bound to make decisions that are twisted and unwise. But when we view our problems through the eyes of God above, misfortune turns to blessing and hatred turns to love. Isn't that powerful? I mean, some people write our young people off, you know? There's a lot of talented young people who just made bad choices. And this is one of them. You hear their heart, it makes sense to us, amen? So tonight, the message that I'm going to bring to you is preparing my heart for the things to come. For the things to come. Father, we thank you so much for this word. And we always cry out that it would be a lamp into our feet and a light into our path. God, I pray you get me out of the way. And Holy Spirit, I give you permission to come and use me as your hands and feet. And I pray for every person in this room, every person online or on the radio. I pray our hearts and minds would be open to what you have ordained us to hear and to think about. So bless us, Lord Jesus, because only you can bless. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen. Amen. I'm going to take it verse by verse instead of reading the whole thing right off the bat. Read verse 1 and 2, chapter 21 of Luke, verse 1 and 2. Now, just to give you a scenario, the Lord was talking about how one day all of his enemies would be put under his footstool. He's just talking about that, and he was teaching his disciples at the time and those close with him, and he was talking about, you know, these religious people who think they're so holy, yet they devour widows and orphans. They don't help anybody out but themselves. And he just was saying that, and then he brings this version of his teaching to his disciples in chapter 21 and verse 1 and 2. And he says, and he, Jesus, looked up, saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. In verse 2. He saw a certain poor widow putting in two small copper coins. Some of your Bibles might have mites. Might have mites. And so the Lord looks up and he says, look at these rich people. Look what they're putting in. And then he looks at this poor widow and he says, look at what she's giving. And that word rich in the Greek, plousios, It means wealth, not only monetarily, but spiritually. And so the Lord says, look at these people who think they're rich on the outside, putting in, and then look at this widow with two mites or two copper coins. Now, a lot of people get confused with wealth, right? And we might think that the more money I have, the less problems I'm going to have. Well, I'm going to tell you, even though you pray that it's going to take care of some of your problems, it creates a whole other genre of problems. Amen? And so when you start thinking about wealth, I've been sharing this recently, the wealthiest people on earth are the ones who need the least. I throw that out to you as a gem. You can keep it. Now, if you and I are content, as Paul calls us to be, then we can be like Philippians 4:13. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, right? And I'll probably bring that up again. But we have to be content. And yet you and I continue to strive and strive. And the Lord says, look at this widow. I want you to notice in these two verses, God sees beyond the value of the gift. He's looking at our heart's condition. Why are we giving? What are we giving? And when are we giving it? Those things are important to God, not the value of it. He's looking at our heart. He wants us to prepare our hearts to be people who give. And however we choose to give to God, I pray that the reason you give, be it money, your abilities, your availability, whatever that is for you, I pray that the reason you're doing it is not to grab attention to yourself, because God knows that. And he sees that. And so you look at the contrast between the rich and this poor widow, clink, clink. And the Lord Jesus says, really, what I'm telling you tonight and what he's telling his disciples, God sees your heart, not the value of what you give. Does that make sense? And I'm really encouraged by that, because people's giving hearts only can be refreshed through Jesus Christ. Why do we give? It's because of him. He gave everything. He bled out, said it's finished, it's done. You can get to heaven now. Look at you and look at me. We deserve hell. And yet because of him, he's given us everything for life and godliness. And you see this widow in that representation of the pureness of heart, why she's giving. And then Luke, he writes this word. It's a small thing she gave. In the Greek, the word is lepton, L-E-P-T-O-N. And it means it's a tiny thing. In fact, this widow gave 1% of a day's wage back in her day. 1%. Of the day's wage. Luke says it was a tiny thing, but the heart was so big, huh? And that's what God sees in us. That's what he desires for our hearts. This widow's gift was huge to Jesus. Huge. That's why he brought it up, because of her heart. I asked myself this question when I was doing this study. I want you to think about it. I wish I go around asking all of you, what would your answer? But can't. We run out of time. You'd be here till 12 at night. But here's the question. How have I shared my generosity recently? How have I shared my generosity recently? What have you done so generously recently? I want to share something with you, and I praise the Lord that my parents are here tonight. Amen. But when God hit me with this question, as he's hitting you with it, how have you been generous lately? A thought came into my mind recently. I've been spending a lot of time with my dad, Papi. And it's so cool. Love you, me, Papi. It's so cool to be his son. It's so cool. And I find that God generously has given me time with my dad, and thus he's prepared my heart to give back to my dad for all the years he gave to me. And you start thinking in your own life, how have you been generous? In fact, recently, I would say in the last 3 months, I've been training two young men. I've retired from martial arts, but they asked me, Uncle, pass some stuff on to us before you get too old and you can't even lift up your leg. And I said, okay. So I started training these two young men coming up to my house. And it's been a blessing. It's been a blessing for me just to pass what little that I know to them and see where they take it. And so when I start to think about generosity, you see, it's much more than money, my loved ones. Please, be a giving person. That's what the world needs. When you and I give from the heart, we won't have killings. We won't have rapes. We won't have any need for addictions. You see, but when we shut our hearts and we don't give, here comes corruptible fruit that the devil brings our way. It's amazing. Well, let's look at verse 3 and 4. Verse 3, and he, Jesus, said, truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all of them. Verse 4, for they all, out of their surplus, put into the offering. But she, out of her poverty, but in all that she had to live on. Wow. I want you to notice that Jesus is commending sacrificial giving. You get up and you don't want to do this, but you know it'll bless someone. Do it. Do it for the sake of Jesus, not you. Do it because you're going to be a blessing. That's how we're his hands and feet. And when the Lord commends his sacrificial giving, it's not money. It's just a different way of giving. How are you giving differently in your life? Are you praying for people? Are you going out of your way to wave if somebody lets you into traffic? Or, I mean, whatever it is. Are we being different so the world might know who Jesus is in us and through us? It's so challenging for me when I start to chew on those things. And I realize that, for me anyway, only Holy Spirit can guide me into this type of giving. Only when I'm filled with God's Spirit can I do this type of blessing to someone else. And sometimes I don't even know them. In fact, 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 24, King David, he refuses. He refused. They said, let's just do this for the Lord. And King David says this, I refuse to give the Lord anything without a cost to me. Wow. King David said, I'm not going to give God anything if there's no cost to me. That's something to think about, huh? That's something to say, wow, Lord, not out of my surplus, but because you deserve it and I love you. I want you to remember, we give because it's good for us. Because we weren't born giving people. Think when you was a baby, you never like share your toys. Everything was about you. Mom, I need milk. Mom, change my diaper. This is my toy. After you get older, right? We weren't born like, here, Mom, sleep for 5 hours. I'll cry later. No, we weren't born like that. That's not the seed that's in our DNA flesh. It's all about us. And when you start thinking about why we give, because it's good for you and I to give. It's not good for God to give. I mean, he gives, but it doesn't make him any better. He's already almighty. He's already great. He don't need our giving to make him great. He can do things without you and I giving. Amen? He don't need us. And I'm so challenged by that, man, it's good for me to give because God wants to bless. And people, I want to wait till I have more money. I want to wait till I have more time. This one just drives me crazy when a believer says, I'm not smart enough like you. I got to learn more of the Bible. And I'm like, what are you talking about? You got the same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead as I do. Let him be God through you. Stop choking yourself. You are enough. And I don't like it when people say, I'm not smart enough. Oh, come on, man. Come on. Who's smart enough? Who on earth in history knew everything about God's word? This word? No one. Even Solomon, the smartest person ever lived. He made plenty of mistakes, amen? And so when you start thinking, I got to wait, don't wait. It's a privilege to give back to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Give. Don't wait till it's too late. And God says, oh, okay, you didn't want to do it. I'm going to use that person. And he does. And you're like, ah, I missed an opportunity. I'll talk about that in a few verses down. Let's look at verse 5 and 6. And while some are talking about the temple, the disciples, right? Can you imagine that? I'm looking at this scenario. Jesus is right here talking, teaching, and you go like this. And you look at the temple. Oh, what a beautiful building. And Jesus is right here, but we look at the temple, right? And our eyes are off of him. And I'm looking even as disciples. Jesus is right there, and look what Luke, look, he writes. And while some are talking about the temple, that it was adorned with beautiful stones and votives of gifts, so many gifts, he said. And Jesus in verse 6 says, as for these things which you're looking at, the days will come which will not be left one stone upon another, which will not be torn down. Wow. Jesus sees right into their hearts. I'm noticing how the disciples were caught up with the structure of the temple, the system of religion. And then you look at our perspective today, you and I. Our points of view, what our physical senses tell us, what we're experiencing. And it draws us away, distracts us away from God's truths. Veer. Yeah, you're going to suffer for a very short time compared to eternity. But I promise you, I go to make a place for you, because in my Father's house is many mansions. Where I go, you will be with me. I mean, these are promises. What do we do with those things, right? But we get so caught up with the outside stuff, and then we're captured. Just like the disciples. What a great example. You see, this system that we live in right now, just like in the day of Jesus' teaching here, our culture in America right now is the center of many people's life. Just like the temple is the center of the Jewish people's life. What happens when you leave your phone at home? And you're like driving, like you're half block away from the house. What are you going to do? Why? Because this is the culture. Hope I don't fall off the stage. Right? You want to know something. I want to know this. And it's so crazy. You're on the computer and you don't, like my office, I got all these books because my books make me feel smart. But like, it's so much easier to just tab things on my computer and go, hey, I need to know this Bible verse, right? And it's like, I need to know what Josephus said here, or Spurgeon, and it's like crazy, the culture we live in. It becomes the center of who we are. You take a young person and you take all their technology away, put them in a dark room with a stick, they go nuts. Not me, man. I know what to do with that stick. I'll have wars. I'll have blessings. I'll have mics. Oh, la, 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 la. I mean, I turn that stick into anything I wanted to turn into. But look, what is the center of our culture today? Just like in this day when Jesus is speaking to his disciples and they're just aghast at the temple and all the system around it. And I start to compare that to my personal relationship with God. If you tonight do not have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, then what you're doing is religious. And if you read the book of Genesis, there's a section in there that says, Jesus says, I never knew you. Blech. And he vomits you out of his mouth. And you and I are screaming, I gave, I prophesied, I healed in your name. Blech. I never knew you. Religion is such a dangerous thing. God wants you and I in a personal way to fall in love with him and to focus everything we are on him and let him do the rest. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but that's what he desires from us. And when you see the Lord teaching his disciples, I started being challenged that today many people, just like in this time, many people or things can grab our focus and we lose train of thought and purpose on Jesus and what he wants us to be and do. And I really picked those words really carefully. Notice what I said, in who he wants us to be and then do. You see, you can't do unless you're be first. Otherwise, you're playing religion. I don't care how much events you do, how much ministries you get involved. If you're not being, if you're not living it and walking it, then you're being religious. Does that make sense? And God, he wants us to be personal with him. Every minute detail, God wants to grab us and be part of it. In fact, after Jesus said this, historically it's proven, 40 years later, the Roman general Titus came in AD 70, and he leveled everything. And this temple was so beautiful that he told his soldiers, burn down the rocks, flip it over, because if we melt the gold, it'll seep through the rocks, because gold was all over in the temple and its walls. And it happened just like Jesus said. Every stone was unturned. Those of you who are blessed to go to Israel, my wife and I have been there a couple times, and that destruction was so severe, they have difficulty to map up the exact location of the temple's foundation. I'm not talking about the Temple Mount, but where was the foundation of the temple itself? Titus destroyed it so well, and the Lord spoke about it, right? Every stone will be unturned. You'll see rocks all over. You go visit over there. It's the craziest thing. The Lord knows what he's saying, and he has a purpose for it. Let's look at verse 7. And they questioned him, saying, teacher, disciples asking a question, teacher, rabbi, when therefore will these things be? And what will be the sign when these things are about to take place? That's the title of my message. God preparing my heart for the things to come. Preparing your heart today for the things to come. That word sign in the Greek, what sign, Lord? Simeon, S-E-M-E-I-O-N, means a supernatural event. What supernatural event's going to happen, Lord? And then if you want a full teaching of this, you can turn to Matthew 24 on your own. It's called the Olivet Discourse. Blessed are, right? All the blessings. And the Lord really gives a complete lesson on this logical question that was asked. When will these signs occur? When will this take place, Lord? Very logical question. In fact, as I study Luke and Matthew, the Lord gives me insight to the near and future prophecies. I'm going to say something to you that I hope does not discourage you, and that's not my purpose. My purpose is to give you reality and what is real. I'm not saying things can't change, but I am saying this. This world we live in right now will not get better. Can you hear me? It's not part of God's will. God is preparing the return of his son Jesus to come back. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to be raptured out of here if we're not passed on. If we are, we're coming out with the new bodies right from the grave. If you're cremated, right from wherever they put your ashes. And where God can do it. And when you start thinking about this world, I don't care who, like voting, I totally agree with what was said up here. Voting is important. I had this battle with my son just last night. Stop grumbling, cuz you don't even vote. And you're in the military, and you don't even vote. Come on. Don't grumble. Well, we should be the only ones that can grumble because we didn't vote for anybody. No, you cannot grumble. You cannot grumble. I mean, you can, but voting is important. I want to tell you, I don't care who we put into office until the government rests on his shoulders, then all will be made well. Amen? And that's Bible. That's prophecy. That's truth. So you and I can vote for the greatest of the greatest politicians. All they are is politicians. That's all they are. Both sides are kind of wonky. One more wonkier than the other, but even the other side ain't perfect until he comes. And then all will be made well. Don't fool yourself. right? COVID gone. Now what is it? The pox. Oh my gosh. I'm like, okay, what else is going to scare us? Yeah, monkey pox. I was talking to a friend. I said, I know how to cure that already. I'm not even a doctor. He goes, what? And I don't drink coffee, but I said, drink monkey poo coffee. And it'll eliminate monkey pox. That's what I think. I mean, what else are they going to scare us with? Show the bubbly skin and, oh, come on, man. Really? Really? So you going now, right? But we're connected globally, so I can scare you just with one picture of blisters on your skin. It's like, oh, come on, man. Get behind me, bro. I'm a superhero until Jesus calls me home. Right? So are you. We will not live one day longer or one day later than we have to. Because he knows the plans he has for us. And yet the world wants to speak all this dysfunction into our brains and into our hearts. And when I see this, I see that the Lord knew exactly what he was saying. This world will not be a better place. Let's look at verse 8. Verse 8 goes on and says, and he, Jesus, said, see to it that you be not misled. Oh my gosh. Notice the first warning. I'll talk about that. See to it that you be not misled. For many will come in my name saying, I am he, and the time is at hand. Do not go after them. Misled. Planao. P-L-A-N-A-O. That means wandering away from safety. In the Greek. Don't be misled. I don't care what the doctors say. I don't care what the scientists say. I surely do not care what the politicians say. I am not going to be misled. This is my God right here. Right here, God's word. And he has been faithful and just in my life. And he'll do the same for you. He never changes. Let's not be misled. Notice the first warning. Jesus said, look, you want to wait for the end times? This is important. Be intimate with me so you know. And I challenge myself, like if you hear me say something, research it on your own like a good Berean. See if I'm off. And then come and speak to me about it. And I'll agree and I'll try to make my case. Or if I'm wrong, I will say, dude, I was way off with that. Sorry about that. I saw that differently. But let's not be misled with false teachers who are charismatic and fireworks going off, stage disappears, and they come on. And they got these jets and cars, and man, surely they're prosperous. They must be blessed. I don't know. We'll find out when they stand before him. See how blessed they were. But I want you to understand that the Lord prioritizes you and I building relationships with him. That is most important, not stuff. That's what he says. Know me. How do you know you're being misled if you don't know the truth that can set you free? You got to spend time. Now, I don't want to put Pastor Bill or people like me out of business, but you know what? I tell you this all the time I'm up here. This is my Bible study. I'm blessed I get to share it with you, but this was my Bible study. You get your own Bible study and see what God has to say to you. That's how he rolls. The same power rose Jesus from the dead lives in us. Lives in us, right? Not just me, but you. And so you have to start making sense of that for your own life and in your own situations. Holy Spirit, man, that's all we need. Him grooming us, preparing us. He will grow us to recognize false teachers and doctrines. Matthew 24, verse 12. One of these end times Jesus speaks about is this. He says, in the end times, people's hearts will grow cold. Now, when I read that, I go, how can that happen if they know Jesus, right? 3 weeks ago, I lost my dog of 12 years who was like my partner. I had to sign that paper to put him down. One of the hardest things I've ever done in my life, put my dog down. At the hospital, right? A couple of days later, we get diagnosed with my dad. I'm going to keep that private. Not news we wanted to hear, but my dad's here. You know, whatever the doctor said, and I was broke. I was looking up to heaven and I was telling God, I got no more tears. I am dried. My eyes kind of leak anymore. It's just hard. And yet through the hard times, I could see the plans of God. He was preparing not only me, but my family for the days to come. And it's been such a blessing. It's been such a blessing. I am a different man today than I was in the beginning of May because of these walks with Jesus through the fires of my trials. And that's how you should look at it. As the Lord says, don't be misled. Know that I'm going to be with you every step of the way. And I started thinking, another question popped in my crazy head. What causes me to wander from God's will for me? Why do I wander away from what God is wanting to do in me and for me and through me? Here's some of my ideas for me. And it starts with my emotions. Think about your emotions, amen? Think about them, the hard ones. All of us struggle with them. Don't have to raise your hand, but let me not be the only bobblehead. All of us struggle with them, right? Some of us this emotion, some of us that emotion. But we struggle with emotions. You ready for another gem? I'm not going to charge you for this one either. Here's another. You keep, put them in your pocket. You ready? Our emotions are real. Can I hear an amen? They're real. But they're not necessarily true. We get deceived all the time by the emotions. And we don't process that. Why? Because the emotion goes, I got you. And we're like, so emotional. We say, we do, we think things we shouldn't. And you start to process that with your own life. And it's like, Lord, it's so tragic when we get to the place as a human being and we're either rejecting Jesus or falling away from God's truth. Man, I was watching stuff at the Southern Baptist Church a couple days ago. It just blew my mind what one pastor could do to 40 different women in his congregation. If I was God, I would take him right from that screen and go, and maybe treat him like cattle. And, you know, it's done with, right? He's done. He can't make no more children. But I'm not God. Praise the Lord. Because lightning bolts will be coming, right? But when you start thinking in these end times we live in, how many people fall away because of whatever? And really, how many people reject Jesus altogether? Nah, I don't need him. Yeah, he's good for you because not for me. And you sit there and you go, wow, this is the creator that you're talking about. He's good for everybody if you let him. And then there's the struggle, right? But it's so tragic in these end times I see this rejection and falling away from God's truth. Yet, you can read Genesis chapter 3 and it starts the journey of Adam and Eve. God has always given this gift to every human being who ever did this and breathed. He has given you and I this powerful gift and tool, the power to choose. We have the power to choose. I don't care if you're in prison. In your mind and heart, you can be free. I don't care if the doctor says you got 3 days to live. In your mind and heart, you can live forever. You can plow through that. Whatever the circumstance is, God has given us the power to choose. As the great spiritual movie of Star Wars said this, right? Yoda, choose well, young Jedi. That's the choice we have. What are we going to do with that power God's given us? Right now, I encourage all of you online and radio and in this room, choose wisely. Make the choice. It's your choice. No one can make it for you. You choose. And I speak that for myself. I need to make a choice in my life also. Let's go to verse 9 through 11. The Lord goes on and he says, When you hear of wars, oh boy, and disturbances, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first. But the end does not follow immediately. Notice in today's times, it's not going to be an immediate coming, but these are the birth pains that Jesus is talking about. Goes on in verse 10. Then he continued by saying to them, nations will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, verse 11. And there will be great earthquakes in various places, plagues, famines. There will be terrors and great signs from the heavens. Wow. Wow. This is my choice tonight. I'm choosing this. I live in an exciting time, no other time in human history. And that's my choice to look at it that way. I'm excited about the now, where I live, how I live. It's exciting. And I realize these are birth pains prior to the coming of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The worship team was so great tonight. I got stood up and I was saying, holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power. I started crying and my wife was looking at me. I said, that was my favorite song when I walked through the park at night with my dog. People thought I was drunk because I would be screaming that song at the top of my lungs. God of power and might, heaven and earth I'll feel. And they're like, what is that crazy lunatic with his dog doing in the park? I was crying tonight when they sang that song. It really meant something to me. And when you start thinking about what Jesus means to you and his coming, we live in no other time in history. Why do you think fear can go global? It's just one press of the technology button, and it's global. No other time in the world did we have that ability to scare everybody and every part of this world that has technology. Nowhere in history has this world been connected like today. Global events are commonplace. Look how fast we heard about the Texas shooting, right? It was instantaneous. And 21 people killed, right? 19 kids, two teachers. As a retired policeman, that broke my heart. I mean, I live to protect people from that. And it happens. It happens. And yet these events, these situations, I'm going to tell you from my point of view, these situations we live in today is going to get more intense and more frequent like never before. Because I believe we live in the end times. And humans can't stop God's will. I don't care if you shave your head, you kneel on raw rice, you're in a cave somewhere in a mountain, you're whipping yourself to your bleeding, and you're screaming out, Lord, heal this land. Lord, stop the famine. Lord, and you're just claiming in the name of Jesus, but God's will be done. The Father knows best. He knows what each event has to be like for the coming of the Christ. In fact, my wife was giving me this, so I'm not a smart guy. She said, hon, and she was technology. And she goes, you know, since 2021, there has been 2,022 earthquakes. That's 5.0 and above. Just think about that. Just think about that one little earthquake, because God said, right? There's going to be quakes and wars and rumors. You don't even realize that, huh? Over 2,000 earthquakes since 2021. I bet you if you go on the almighty Google and you track prior to COVID to today, your mind will go boosh by just the amount of earthquakes we've had. And then you look at what Jesus is saying. Do you think he's true when he says these are things that has to happen? I submit to you, you should have faith in that. Just like when he said this temple gonna come tumbling down, and it happened 40 years later, right? You and I can believe Jesus and his words. It's the gospel truth. And I don't know where I'd be without it. Verse 12 through 15. Goes on and he begins to really get heavy into the teaching, and he says, but before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and will persecute you, delivering you to the synagogues, to prisons, bringing you before kings and governors for my name's sake. It will lead to an opportunity for your testimony, the story of your life and my life. Verse 14. So make up your minds not to prepare beforehand to defend yourself. Why? What are you talking about? Because verse 15, for I will give you utterance and wisdom which none of your opponents will be able to resist or refute or argue against. Wow. You see, why we go through hard times? It has a purpose. God's preparing us. That's the title of my message. Hard times have a purpose. They're preparing us for godly opportunities. Now, I'm giving you, this is the third one. Might be my last one, but tonight. Here's another gem, this side of the room. Catch the gem. You guys got to just look at their gem. Here's another gem. You ready? Every moment of our lives, every breath we take, every situation, every feeling, every thought, maybe not every thought, but every moment we experience here on this earth is Father approved. It goes through his throne room. Nothing you and I experience, Jesus is not going, oh, how did that one sneak by? Oops, my bad. I let that one happen. No, 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 no. Everything allowed in our lives is God approved, even if it's not God's will for us. Remember I said the power of choice? We make the choice. God goes, that's not what I had for you, but go ahead. I'm going to approve that choice, and I'm going to be with you when you got to walk through that fire, because that's not what I wanted you to choose. But everything we experience is Daddy approved. Be encouraged. God is not only good, he cares. He cares for you and I. Be encouraged tonight with that. And when you start thinking about our choice, will you and I deliver the punchline for the opportunities God gives us? My wife said, I use this in Molokai, that word punchline. She goes, you got to explain punchline, so I'm going to explain punchline. It's a comedic term, you know, when the comedians deliver the punchline, right? So they got you and I going this way, and then they go, they take us this way. But I'm going to give you a God deliver punchline. You ready? Here's a long, and many of them say this. Young people who are locked up, and they say, and this is their prayer, God, help me to be sober. I'm tired of drugs and alcohol. I'm tired of it. Right? Then they go out in the world, what happens? I see them lock up again. Oh my, bro, you just was locked up 2 months ago. I know, uncle, my bad. I'm learning from my mistakes. So when you gonna learn that lockup is not good? I mean, how many mistakes does it take? But look at your life and my life. How many mistakes we make, right? But God's punchline is this. A young person goes, Lord, deliver me from my addictions and my habits. He goes, okay. And now they're locked up. And my wife and I always ask this question. Are you sober today? Yeah. Well, didn't you pray to be sober? Yeah. Well, God locked you up and you're sober. That's God's punchline. That's how he delivers the punchline. He's going to honor your prayer. You want to be sober? You're such a knucklehead. You can't do it on your own. Well, let me help you. And if it takes being incarcerated, being locked up, then that's what I'll do because I'm honoring your prayer. You see, God delivers that punchline. It might not look like the way we want it to look, but he always delivers the punchline. The question is this for you and I. Are you letting him prepare you and I to deliver the punchline for him with people in your life? Oh, it's so hard when you make it. Just remember, hard, not bad, just hard. It is hard. What I'm saying up here is hard for me. It's hard for me. It challenges me, but I'm excited. I'm still excited that God considers me. And I want you to understand that when you and I give Jesus the glory. And when we say, Lord, here I am. And people see that and they see the change in our lives. Only Holy Spirit can do that. Other people can't change you. Only Holy Spirit. Only He can do that. And then the Lord says this. And we're probably all shell-shocked already from this. The Lord says, a tax is going to come, secularly or worldly, and from a religious point of view too. And you should expect both. Look at the last few years, right? All the stuff of the world attacking us. And then look within the body of Christianity. Look at churches. And I don't want to badmouth anybody, but I know this. It's not biblical to marry two men or two women. We got churches doing it, right? I'm not condemning that, but I'm not condoning it either. It's God who's going to judge that, not me. And when they ask me, well, do you hate homosexuals or lesbians? I go, no. No, I don't. But this is what I want them to do. If they want to unite, come up with your own definition. Don't call it marriage. Call it whatever you want. I'm okay with, if you want to say civil union, I'm okay with that. I don't agree with it, but I'm okay with that definition. I really am. I can compromise with that, and you be you and I be me. But if you go and say, I'm marrying him, and it's Adam and Steve, and not Adam and Eve, then, oh, I mean, I got a problem with that spiritually. I got a problem with that. But look at the world, right? The world accepts it. Now we got to be gender neutral. We got to use them, they, because we could offend. Well, I'm not feeling like a man today. And you're like, what does that mean? Well, can I walk in the girls' bathroom? Can you imagine if you walked into the women's bathroom and you see me in there? Hi, women. I'm feeling soft tonight. The world tells us it's okay. I mean, come on, right? And the Lord Jesus says, expect it. You're going to be attacked from the world and from within. Expect it. I was sharing this on Molokai just a couple weeks ago, and I told them this is my old crazy thought, but I'm going to share it with you tonight. One demon in this church is more powerful than 1,000 on the outside of it. One slithering snake in our body is more venomous than any thousands of demons outside of it. Think about that, right? It's slithering among us. It can do such great damage. And we're protecting from the out, but it's within. And the Lord Jesus says, expect it. In the end times, good will be bad and bad will be good. Expect it. Don't get too frazzled. Get excited. Lord, I know you're just like right there. Yes, I am. I'm just waiting. That's why I try to preach salvation all the time, because I know the end of the Gentiles will be the beginning of the rapture and everything. And I want that non-believer to say yes to Jesus. And that might just be the one, you know, like the big, oh, you're the 1,000 person in the grocery store. You win all the groceries. That one unbeliever, that's all. God knows that number. When that transpires, He is coming. He's coming back. And I'm so excited about that. You know, today we have choices to touch others with our story. Look what He says. He talks about our testimony. Some of you in this room and online and on the radio, you don't even realize how powerful the story of your life is. We all have a story. And you don't even realize how powerful that is, or you can touch people with it. You can be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. You can talk to people that I cannot. You can live for Christ in front of people that I cannot. And yet, you don't realize how powerful your story is. Well, I'm just a geek. Why, I was a goody two-shoe. I never really take drugs or drink or bust somebody in the head. And I have one story. That's just one type of story. You have a story. Use your story for the glory of Jesus. Touch people with your story. He says it tonight, your testimony, right? John rewrote it again. In Revelation 12, 11, he says, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimonies, our stories. Your story and my story is so powerful for the glory of God. And then I love this because the Lord says, look, don't get nervous about how you can prepare yourself. I'm going to give you words. I'm going to get you ready. I'm going to prepare you where people look at you, they're going to be like, what the heck? What are they about? They're not wearing a mask. Yeah, sorry. I know the mask don't mean nothing. It doesn't do nothing. Right? Well, they're not getting road rage. Well, yeah. What's that going to do for the sake of Christ? Nothing. Except please me. Holy Spirit, as the Lord says here, will be responsible for training and preparing you and I. Praise the Lord for that. When was the last time you did a spiritual push-up? Whenever I drive around, I see people running with the thing, right? So I'm like, doing all that, right? And I drive by them, I go, Lord, bless their bodies and let them spiritually work out too. Stir their spirits, Lord. Let them do push-ups for Jesus, pull-ups for Jesus, whatever it is. Lord, get them whole inside and outside. But too many of us just look at the outside. We focus on the temple and not the risen Lord. And we drift away. I began to wind down, but another question came into my head doing this study was in verse 12 to 15. I was reading it and I started to think of myself, why do I neglect my spiritual training? Why do you and I neglect our spiritual training? Man, I'm going to do them later. I can always read and pray later, right? Then you're on bed, ready to sleep, and you do the two-minute drive-by. Lord, bless my family, and you're out. Oh, what a blessing that was. I'm not saying that's wrong, but I mean, that tells me that you ate way too much worldly sugar. You wouldn't crash, right? I mean, I'm challenged by this. I want to exercise my spirit, not just my body. I want my heart to be ready. How's this one? I'm going to do them later. How about this one? I just too busy. Oh, us Americans, we get the schedules. He said, where are I going to fit this in? Oh, maybe one verse. I'm going to sneak them in between whatever. And we sneak one verse in. And God's like, aren't you glad I don't just sneak you in? I really welcome you in. Right? And here's the hard one for me. I find in my life, whenever I spiritually work out, there's always a cost. Because I'm looking at myself in my spiritual mirror, and I see how messed up I am. And how much fixing I need. And I'm like, Lord, I don't know how you use me. I'm a big knucklehead. Well, you go ahead and you do what you do, man. Because people are going to know it's you. Because it ain't me, right? And you start thinking about, are you and I tonight willing to pay the price to spiritually work out? Because if you are, I'm going to tell you, not only you will be blessed, but everybody else around you is going to be blessed. Because you're going to be different. And Jesus will get the glory. Amen? Amen. Let's close verses 16 through 19. Hey, I made it. But you will be delivered up, even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends. And they will put some of you to death. Oh, my gosh. And you will be hated by all on the account of my name. Verse 18, yet a hair of your head will not perish. The last verse tonight, by your endurance or your patience, you will gain your life. All of our lives. Endurance or that patience. Hupomone. H-U-P-O-M-O-N-E in the Greek. Patiently and being consistent. We're constantly being patient. Even if it's heavy, we're just holding it. And we're patiently waiting for the Lord. This really hurts me as I wind down tonight, because the Lord says, even our close bloodlines will be challenging. Right? Think about your family. All the dysfunction, all the frayed things in your family relationships. Some you have relationships and some you don't because of stuff in the past. And we're just not going to talk. Right? Every family has it. And the Lord says, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. In fact, he uses some like really graphic, specific words. They're going to put you to death. Now, mind you, could be physically, like that shooter in Texas shot his grandma first in the face with an AR. Those of you who never shot an AR, 223 round is pretty, it blows things up, you know, to say the least. He shot his grandma first, then he went to the school, right? Right? But I'm talking like our family members can kill us emotionally, mentally. And some of us, because we look up to them so much, spiritually. And so we have challenges. And then the Lord says, just expect that. Those are signs of the end times. It's going to happen. If it's happening to you or you read it, you see it, I just want you to notice this. And Jesus says, it's going to happen. We're encouraged not to be passive here. He says, man, you're not going to get hurt. If I'm with you, you're going to be all right. Not even your hair will be messed up. I'm going to take care of you. Don't worry about that. If you're for me, who can be against you, right? Be encouraged. We're not to be passive, but we should trust Jesus because he will do the supernatural. He's going to fix the things that need to be fixed. Not you and I. Not you and I. I'm going to close with this story, and then I want to just give you a verse with my thought at the end. But when you're talking about, will I allow God to prepare my heart for the end times, for the things to come in my life? Can I do that? This story is about it's a Catholic priest. He was a Polish Catholic priest. His name was Maximilian Kolbe. And he was arrested by the Gestapo, the German Gestapo, back in the 40s, because he was hiding Jews and Polish refugees from the Nazis. And as he was in this lockup facility, there was three prisoners that disappeared from Auschwitz, huh? The gas chamber place, right? You guys might have heard of it. Terrible work camp there, concentration camp. And the deputy commander of the camp, he was so irritated, he issued orders to pick 10 men to be starved to death in order to deter further escapes. And one of the 10 men, I'm going to kill his name, but his name was Franciszek Kowalczyk. He began to cry out, I'm married, I have a wife, my children, I'll never see them again. At this point, the Catholic priest, Maximilian Kolbe, he stepped forward, he removed his cap, and he said, I am a Catholic priest. Let me take this man's place. I'm old. He has wife and children. And amazingly, the commander allowed the request. And every day in that cell, this priest celebrated Mass each day and sang hymns with fellow prisoners. It took 2 weeks of dehydration and starvation, and only the priest remained alive. But because the cell was needed for other prisoners, he was given a lethal injection. God did not allow this priest to die. The Nazis had to kill him. And when they were injecting him, the story says, he lifted up his left arm to receive the injection, and he calmly waited for the injection. He knew where he was going. He knew who he was in love with. You see, you keep your mind open and how you may serve others, and you avoid the self-imposed limitations. We all have our limitations. We all do. But you forget about those things, and then God may work something in you and have something bigger for you tonight. And it'll just blow your mind. Because he's a supernatural God. He is the great I am. And I want to close with this thought, and I'll give you a psalm. We need more of Jesus, you and I tonight. We need more of Jesus in us to control us. I cannot control myself. I cannot. I'm too selfish. I can't do it. I need more of him, as John said in chapter 3, verse 30. I need to decrease so he can increase. That's a daily prayer for me. Because is Fabian increased too much? Oh, peel out that day, dirty. It's not good. It's not good because I'm not good without Jesus. Close with this psalm for you tonight. Psalm 62 and verse 2. And the psalmist wrote this, he only, he being God, only is my rock, is my salvation, is my stronghold. And then he ends the verse by writing this. And this is my prayer for you tonight. I will not be greatly shaken. If God is your rock and is your salvation and your stronghold, you and I will not be greatly shaken. Father, we just thank you so much for tonight, a study of this great gospel of Luke, how he's penned it, how he's put it together for us. We chew on it and we say, Father, help us to digest it in a spiritual sense. And even if we don't fully understand these things, God, we trust in you. And we love you. And we thank you for first loving us. And so as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I just want a show of hands. If you have a situation tonight in you or in your family or whatever that you're struggling with, just give me a small wave. Let me pray for you tonight. Amen, sister, I see you. Amen. On the left, my right, your left. Amen. Amen in the back, way back. Amen. 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 All on this side. Amen. Thank you. You can put your hands down. The power comes from Jesus. Amen. It's not about me and my prayer. Father, you've seen your people, your loved ones, your children raise their hands. And I raise my hands with them, Lord. And I pray that tongues of fire will fall upon us tonight, God. That it will permeate our very being from our minds to our hearts to our spirits, God. We just relinquish ourselves to you because, God, we've tried everything and we've fallen short. But you, Jesus, you are our rock. You are our salvation. You are our stronghold. And we're choosing tonight to believe in you that we will not be greatly shaken. So bless us, God. As we leave this place, let your ministering angels surround us, follow us, do whatever they need to do so we can endure this moment we call tonight. I thank you for the people here, the people online, on the radio. Lord, would you do what you do best? Love us and prepare us for these end times. And we be sure to look up in the heavens and to give you all the glory, for only you are worthy. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen. Love you, man. Thank you for having me. See you in 2 weeks. I'll see you again.